O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. It was the saddest sunrise ever. A few summers ago, I visited a town in El Salvador called La Animina, a community who used to live on a beautiful vista over on the volcanic ridge overlooking Lake Ilopango. One member of the community, Benjamin, shared the story of the night a mudslide and tropical storm Ida swept away their homes. Most lives were spared through the heroism of a community matriarch who warned everyone to flee before the earth literally gave way beneath them. The following morning, the complete destruction of their community was illumined in, as Benjamin called it, the saddest sunrise ever. For us, a sunrise is so often a sign of hope, a new day symbolizing newness of life. But that sunrise truly meant a new life for La Animina, a new life they did not want. In the night, members of La Animina could still cling to shreds of possibility that at least their home or some semblance of previous life could still remain. We often think of light as something that brings life and hope, which it does. But it's not always easy or simply warm and fuzzy. Just as that sunrise over La Animina, the light of Christ, which brings us light and hope, often illumines for us realities we would prefer not to see. The glaring disparity between the way we live and the way we were created to live. In our liturgical year, we bask in light today. We began our liturgical year in Advent, waiting and watching for the light to break in. And then at Christmas, we celebrated that breaking dawn of incarnate light. And for these last few weeks of Epiphany, we have celebrated being in the light. And our eyes have adjusted to see the presence of God all around us. A celebration which will crescendo over the next 2 days of the carnival season. We do this because as Christians, we believe that God created our world and that it created it to be good, and that there is deep joy in the blessings of life. But as we join with many saints who celebrate these liturgical rhythms to live into the whole story of who we are as followers of Christ, there is no place we will spend less time than on the mountaintop in this shower of light. In just 3 days, we'll experience liturgical whiplash, as we're reminded that to dust we shall return, and we'll literally feel particles of our lifeless mortality spread on our foreheads. But for today, we gaze into the light. Our passages today speak of moments when the pure brightness of God's glory flooded into the lives of ordinary people like us. In them, we learn something of this story we share, because none of them either were able to dwell in the warm transcendence very long. For both prophets and disciples, the illumination brought in these moments of encountering heavenly realities called them to face realities around them, because that is where they were called to share the dream of God in this world and to be the light of hope and life in the dark. Our gospel text today tells of light shining the glory of heaven on a mountain in Israel. Jesus takes three of his closest disciples up on a mountain, and while they're at the summit, Jesus is transfigured. He becomes fully himself in a way that was usually hidden from those around him. These three fishermen are suddenly ushered into the heavenly realities. Though they have believed in the God of the living, they suddenly witness Moses and Elijah alive, fully beside them. And Peter's earlier confession of Jesus as the Son of God is verified as they see him illumined in all his glory. How often do we long for something like this? Proof, tangible sight of the glory of God in heaven, experiencing the perfect reality for which we were all created. And Peter speaks up in maybe the understatement of history and says, "It is good to be here," and offers to build dwellings so that they can stay. But it's not to be. They must walk down the mountain and return to their lives among a people broken by a foreign rule, where they must confront the pain, suffering, and brokenness of a world that will go on to crucify their leader, And they must confront the worst in themselves when they abandon him when he needs them the most. After this incredible experience in the light, they begin the journey to encounter the deepest darkness of human cruelty and suffering. Like the sunrise that dawned over Lake Ilopango, the true light of the glory of God often causes us to see darkness we would far rather remain blind to. Because we follow a God who longs to redeem all of creation and not to leave anyone in dark realities. Like the disciples, following Jesus and his work will lead us to heal the world, will call us deeper into the suffering around us. When we are overcome by the beauty of new life, we see that each child born bears the very image of God, and our hearts only break more that nearly half of children born today will enter a life of poverty. When we glimpse the equality that we are to share in God, we should be scandalized that 22,000 children will die today for lack of the basic necessities which we enjoy in abundance. When we taste the beauty of connecting to others as the family of God, the isolation of those among us who are not accepted for who they are becomes so far away from the dream of God for which we were created. And as light shines on the state of our world and our community, it will also penetrate our own souls. I know I am inclined to keep certain parts of myself, certain memories, certain feelings deep in the darkest corners of my heart. There are times when I fear their illumination much more than I long for their healing. In this month in which we celebrate Black History, I am reminded of the words of a white man exploring his roots in Alabama. He said, "What happened in Birmingham in 1963 not only redeemed the oppressed, it also redeemed my people, although we haven't been able to accept it yet. We haven't yet taken that particular snake out and lifted it aloft in the light, that dangerous, unloved thing about us, where we came from, what we did, who we are. We all carry pasts within us that are shameful and dangerous, and yet they're part of us. That dangerous, unloved thing about us, the past of the people from whom we come, is deeply part of who each of us are, and it must be brought forth into the light, because only as we open to God all that is broken in us can we know the grace that heals us. This is why we enter the journey of Lent that we will begin this week. That season has never been about self-loathing or groveling before God. We begin this journey because of what we have celebrated here over the past few months, that the light has come into the darkness and that the darkness will never overcome it. Today we revel in the light, knowing that we and all whom we encounter are glorious children of God. Today we remember who we were made to be. Today we are encouraged to continue to be transformed into that likeness and to devote ourselves to seeking and serving Christ and joining him in the restoring of our world. Today, let us bask in that light, a light that is brightest when it's pervading the dark corners of our communities and our lives. In a couple of days, we will enter a season of facing those dark corners, and by grace, we will know our Creator even more in those ancient rhythms. So as we celebrate the waning days of this season of light, may we know the life and hope found in our God. May the light shining among us and in us today allow us to know ourselves as we truly are, fully redeemed creatures of God. Amen.